Assalamu alaikum, peace be with you, and welcome to Islam and Life with me, Tariq Ramadan, in London. Today's show marks the 13th of Rajab, the month of the Islamic calendar. This is the day on which Ali ibn Abi Talib was born. He is a major figure in Islam and still has a huge impact on Muslims today.
Around 1400 years ago, in Mecca, someone was born whose legacy would change the world forever. He was born on the 13th day of Rajab. This program marks the anniversary of his birth. He is remembered by Muslims around the world as one of the greatest people who ever lived. His name was Ali, the son of Abu Talib. Ali was nephew to Abdullah, the father of the Prophet Muhammad. Therefore, Ali and the Prophet were cousins. According to Shia historians, when Fatima bint Asad was pregnant, she leant against the wall of the Kaaba in Mecca. The corner of the Kaaba fractured and she entered the cavity where Ali was to be born. The first person who greeted Ali was his cousin Muhammad. A fracture in the Kaaba can still be seen today. Throughout his life, Ali was highly dedicated to the Prophet. It was Ali to whom the Prophet gave the hand of his beloved daughter, Fatima Zahra, in marriage. Ali was the first to rise whenever the Prophet would ask for assistance. In one of the most widely reported events in Islamic history, the Prophet, after his final pilgrimage, raised Ali's hand and announced to thousands of followers that if they accepted the Prophet as their master, then they should also accept Ali as their master. This event is known as Qadir Day. When Ali appointed Malik ibn Ashtar as the governor of Egypt, he warned him of the danger of politics. Ali said, "Remember, Malik, that amongst your subjects there are two kinds of people. Those who have the same religion as you, they are your brothers in religion. And then there are those who are of other religions. They are your brothers in humanity."
So, who was Ali ibn Abi Talib? He was at the same time the son, the cousin of the Prophet, and his son-in-law. He, as he married, that he was, we just hear it, Fatima, the daughter of the Prophet, alayhi wasalam. He entered and accepted Islam when he was very young and never worshipped the idols. And this is why when we are talking about him, we say, Karram Allahu wajha, that may Allah bless his face, because he never worshipped idols and he followed the Prophet, alayhi wasalam, when he was very young. So he is a very central figure in the Islamic tradition. Who was he and why is it so central in the whole Islamic tradition? In which way we can draw from his life examples and lessons for today? To discuss Ali ibn Abi Talib, I'm joined by Said Ammar Naqshbandi, who is a lecturer in Islamic history and is currently studying a PhD in Islamic historiography. He's also a prominent speaker at Islamic events. And I'm also joined by Sheikh Abdulrahman Helbawi, director of the Islamic Institute for Development and Research. Thank you for being with us today. I want to start with you, and I want to ask you, really, who was Ali ibn Abi Talib?
Ali ibn Abi Talib occupies a prominent position in Islamic thought, as he is seen as being the son-in-law of the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, as well as his cousin. Indeed, when you study his life, you find that his life is full of dedication towards the religion of Islam. For he came from a family who gave support to the Prophet more than anybody else. When you look, for example, at his father Abu Talib was a backbone to the Prophet, especially in the early years of the propagation of the religion in Mecca. You find that Abu Talib had that diplomatic position where he was able to be the middleman between the nobles of Quraysh who were opposing the message and, of course, his nephew. And so you find Abu Talib, as an example, offering the whole of his piece of land in the years of economic sanctions towards the Holy Prophet and ensuring that his sons are a support towards the Prophet's message. Because even when you look at Ali ibn Abi Talib, you'll find his brother Ja'far is the person who leads the companions towards Abyssinia. So on the one hand, you have a family who not only the father of the family is dedicated towards supporting the religion all his life, But the brothers in the family, be they Talib or Ja'far, are supporting the religion as well. Ali himself is known from a young age to have supported the religion, as in arguably one of the momentous occasions in the life of Ali ibn Abi Talib is the night of Hijrah, when he sleeps in the bed of the Prophet, and reports indicate that he was in his early 20s on that night. Mm-hmm. And really an exemplar for many, that you're willing to sacrifice all that you have at such a young age. And of course, numerous reports state that verse 207 of chapter 2 of the Quran, about those who sell their souls for the pleasure of Allah, was revealed on that night. Likewise, you find his mother Fatima bint Asad, the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, saw her as his mother as well. Hmm. And that when she passed away, he is the one who led the funeral ceremony for her and described her as being his mother. And of course, in certain narrations, it is renowned that he was born in the Kaaba, that his mother was circumambulating the Kaaba, and that she felt the pangs of pregnancy upon her.
Yeah. So first, his father supported the Prophet ﷺ, yes. Never became a Muslim. He was, you know, very supportive of the Prophet, the whole family, and this is why you also speak about the people of the house, the home, around the relatives of the Prophet ﷺ. What else can we say about himself as someone who was central to the first years of Islam?
In terms of, first, just on the point of his father, of course, I think the amount of service and dedication his father gave the religion indicated that he definitely died on the path of the religion. In terms of looking at the early years of dedication, you find that this young man in his 20s is arguably the greatest warrior in Islamic history. At the Battle of Badr, you find half of the opposition are defeated by his sword. You find at Uhud, he is renowned as one of the companions who remained with the Prophet on the mountain. At Khandaq, the outstanding incident of fighting Amr ibn Wadd al-Amri, a renowned warrior. Ali ibn Abi Talib, in the most famous incident, arguably, of how a warrior has to maintain patience in his life when he was spat on as he was about to strike Amr ibn Wadd, and then he walks away. He then returns back and he strikes him, and the companions ask the question that, why is it that you walked away? He said, because when he spat at me, he angered me, and I never strike anybody who angers me. I only strike those who anger God. And for somebody who at the time in the Battle of Khandaq was around 26, 27 years old, that's an unbelievable level of self-restraint, which is really an example for today. Khaybar, the numerous narrations about the man who lifted the gate, which others couldn't lift at the time, let alone his performances on a battle with the Arabs who had grown up with his father. People like the Battle of Hunain, Ali ibn Abi Talib's performance on that battle was renowned, how he remained on the front lines.
So we'll come to these examples just to draw a lesson.
Sure.
Sheikh Abdulrahman, let me come to you. If you have to speak, you know, you are studying this, you know, this history, the Islamic history is quite important. It's central. The figure of Ali ibn Abi Talib is central. What can you add to this centrality in our understanding today?
أعوذ بالله السميع العليم من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. The first point that comes to my mind, actually, to add to what my dear brother Ammar has mentioned, is that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he's actually chose Ali ibn Abi Talib before Islam, before the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was given prophecy, before it was revealed to him, and he actually brought him up. And the whole scenario, or the whole tradition of bringing up somebody in his very household, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he taught him so many characteristics. He taught him so many qualities that later on helped in formatting or bringing about such a great leader. We read in some of the traditions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that he's been reported to have said, "Nusirtu bishabab," I was granted victory at the very hand of the youth. And in many other reports, we see how the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to interact with the younger companions, like Sayyidina Ali ibn Abi Talib, like Abdullah ibn Abbas, like Anas ibn Malik, like so many of them, whom the Prophet ﷺ gave them a special focus and attention to bring them up, because he knew that they are the ones who are going to carry the message further to the world. And we've seen in the report that mentioned how Sayyidina Ali ibn Abi Talib was giving instructions to the new appointed governor to Egypt, where he is actually mentioning some of those qualities that he learned from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam.
So let me come to these qualities, because we spoke about the fact that he was faithful from the very beginning, that he was courageous, a warrior. So, what else is important for us?
You see, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in the mere incident of requesting Sayyidina Ali ibn Abi Talib radiallahu ta'ala anhu to be in his very own bed, he's not only showing the courage of Sayyidina Ali, but showing the tarbiyah of the Prophet to Sayyidina Ali on how to become faithful, how to return the amanat, the treasures, the things that these people, even those who are trying to kill the Prophet and his household, how the Prophet ﷺ is adamant to give everything back in honesty. So these are the qualities, where some of the qualities that the Prophet ﷺ brought Sayyidina Ali. The other thing I'd like to also add, which is very, very important, is that Sayyidina Ali ibn Abi Talib, when the reports mention that when he accepted Islam, he was 10 years of age. Yeah. He was very, very young. And occasionally he would, he would meet with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the other companions in Dar al-Arqam and other points of meeting, where he would learn from the Prophet and the other companions. Being at a very young age, mixing with very well-established men of different calibers in the society, it enhances the personality. So it gave him wisdom, it gave him quick understanding. Obviously, this was one of the other things. It's narrated. It's narrated by when Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu ta'ala anhu was asked about Sayyidina Ali ibn Abi Talib radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he said, "Aqdana Ali." The best person of judgment amongst us is Ali ibn Abi Talib. Why? Because he was brought up in this environment where he can take into consideration so many things, not only from the Prophet, but from all the companions around the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Later on, he became a leader who went further to establish Islam.
Out of this confidence that he got when he was young. So let me come to now. So we know how central is the figure of Ali ibn Abi Talib, and all the qualities are known for all the traditions. This is something which is a consensus among all the scholars from Shia Sunni tradition. So now, if we want to relate the Muslims of today to his figure and hear the lessons that we can draw from his life, what would be the primary things that we have to teach to the people today?
I think it's very important that even us as Muslims don't cocoon Ali ibn Abi Talib to ourselves. Ali ibn Abi Talib's life is an example for every human being, because he has principles in his life which even a non-Muslim can learn from. You find, for example, George Jordak, the Lebanese Christian, wrote a book on one of the areas we as Muslims can learn from today. A Christian wrote on Ali ibn Abi Talib the book, Ali ibn Abi Talib, Sawt al-Adal al-Insaniya, the voice of human justice. And when he examines Ali ibn Abi Talib's life, he says that I'm a Lebanese Christian. And people ask me, why is it that you've written about Ali ibn Abi Talib? He's a Muslim figure. He said, no, Ali ibn Abi Talib's life is for all humanity. And he gives examples. For example, he says, look at the justice of Ali ibn Abi Talib within his family, the justice with his friends, the justice with the weak and the oppressed. And the
even in front of the judge, he wanted to be labeled exactly the same as the others.
The same. His beautiful manners with both Muslims and non-Muslims. Let's just take that as an example. Why? Because we live in the Western world.
Yes.
We're going to have to interact with our own brethren and with people outside of our faith. With his own brethren, he returns from one of the battles while he was Khalifa. There is a lady who's cooking some food, and she doesn't recognize him. He asks her, you seem like you're alone here, is there any help we can give? And she suddenly replies by saying, may God curse Ali son of Abu Talib. And he wonders, why do you say that? She says, he takes my sons to the battle, They have all now passed away and he's still alive. What type of leader is that? He says to her, now, how do you live? She says, well, I've only got my children who are remaining and I've got to fend for myself. He says to her, can I help you in any way? She says to him, no, don't worry. You're a gentleman, but I prefer to. He said, no, allow me. She said, well, if you can help me make some bread, that will be a great help. Every morning in the heat of the Arabian Peninsula, Ali ibn Abi Talib would come and prepare the bread for her. Until one day he's leaving, her daughter's returning. She sees Ali ibn Abi Talib. What's the Khalifa doing in our house? She enters, she tells her mother, mother, did you see Ali ibn Abi Talib? She said, which Ali ibn Abi Talib? She said, the Caliph Ali ibn Abi Talib was just in our house. She said, that's Ali ibn Abi Talib. Every morning I've been cursing him and he's been helping me. She went to ask him for forgiveness. He said to her, I ask you to ask God to forgive me. If for a moment I may have hurt you. Now, if more Muslims had that type of peaceful heart with each other, there would be a great reform and movement in our lives. And likewise with non-Muslims.
Yes, the spiritual dimension of it. What can you add to that?
The spiritual dimension is a very important dimension in Sayyidina Ali ibn Abi Talib's life, because many people will talk about how brave he was. Many people will talk about how just he was. Many people will talk about how, you know, so many things, but it all comes down to one thing, which is his relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How he chose, my shuyukh, Sheikh Zakaria, always says life is about choices. So his choice to follow the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and reflect on his duties towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, therefore anything else doesn't matter. He's dealing with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When he was serving this lady, he was actually dealing with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's why he was serving the lady. When he was dealing with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he was leading the armies. When he was dealing with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he was so kind to Fatima al-Zahra.
So put me this on practice. I'm a young Muslim of today.
The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came to a young person, who was Ali ibn Abi Talib radiallahu ta'ala anhu, and said to him, as narrated in At-Tirmidhi, should I teach you some words that if you were to say them, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive you, you will be forgiven? And Sayyidina Ali ibn Abi Talib said, of course. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught him to say the very famous dua, لا إله إلا الله الحليم الكريم لا إله إلا الله رب العرش العظيم لا إله إلا الله. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, at a very young age, he was putting in the heart of Sayyidina Ali ibn Abi Talib the spiritual dimension. Ali ibn Abi Talib waking up in the night, seeing the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam praying the night prayers. Ali ibn Abi Talib experiencing the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam even before Islam, going to Ghar Hira to pray and to talk with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, communicate with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's why on one of the very important battlefields in the history of Islam, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, لَأُعْطِيَنَّ هَذِهِ الرَّايَةِ, I'm going to give our flag, our flag to somebody who loves Allah wa Rasuluhu, and that Allah wa Rasuluhu, both of them love him. Why? Because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam knew. You see, he didn't say for somebody who's so, strong, for somebody who doesn't fear nobody. He said for somebody who loves Allah wa Rasuluhu, and that Allah and the Prophet loves him.
There is something which is quite important that we are very often missing when we speak about Ali ibn Abi Talib, karramallahu wajhah, which is what you are saying now. It was a very special relationship between him and the Prophet, and this was built on love. It was a deep love. And I think that the spirituality that he is showing everywhere is also coming from this love towards the Prophet,
The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would not love somebody unless he feels the same from them towards the helping the cause of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's why the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam loved all the companions. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam loved even the kuffar of Mecca, because when he refused to make dua against them, on his trip back from At-Ta'if, he liked them. But Sayyidina Ali ibn Abi Talib was very special. Again, I would say the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam chose him even before Islam to bring him up in his house. And then later on, he went to him and asked him to become a Muslim, or invited him to Islam as the first ever male to accept Islam. He was after Khadija radiallahu ta'ala, and it was Sayyidina Ali ibn Abi Talib.
So love, deep spirituality, serving the people, And still, we have to come to something which is central, because maybe it's lacking in our communities today, which has to do with courage.
You want to add something? About love. Sayyidina Ali ibn Abi Talib, radiallahu ta'ala anhu, once the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he walked in the house. It seems, you know, like what happened, like every time, you know, any argument or something that happens between families, as we are talking about young people and families and so on. So he walked out. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam seems to have noticed. So he went to Sayyida Fatima Zahra's house and he said, you know, where is your cousin? Sayyidina Ali ibn Abi Talib, and she said, there he is in the mosque. You know, he went to the mosque. The Prophet ﷺ went to the mosque and he saw Sayyidina Ali ibn Abi Talib lying on the floor, and his back was bare with some dust covering his back. So the Prophet ﷺ, look at the love of the Prophet ﷺ, who definitely loved his daughter, Sayyida Zahra radiallahu ta'ala anha, but his love also to his son-in-law, to his son. You know, before he became his son-in-law, he was his son. He went to him and he started wiping his back, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, with his own hands and saying, "Ya Aba Turab." He gave him a nickname to show his. You don't give nicknames to people you know are not so close to you. He was somebody. He was a son of the Prophet, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, brought up in his house.
So this is an important thing. A very quick final words on his courage. Say something that can be useful for people today. It's as if we are lacking this courage today, isn't it?
Well, without a doubt, his courage was unbelievable, and that courage can be seen in the number of political treaties that he was involved in. Ali ibn Abi Talib wasn't just a spiritual figure. There was also a political involvement in everyday society. Mm-hmm. The Treaty of Hudaybiyah was written by Ali ibn Abi Talib.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
The Treaty of Mubahala with the Christians of Najran was written by Ali ibn Abi Talib. Rasulullah ends up sending him to reveal the ceremonies of Hajj on Surah number 9 of the Quran towards the Quraysh, many of whom he had had confrontations with their fathers in the past. And later on also, while he is Khalifa, speaking out against the injustice of the time. And that type of courage is what we have to instill in our life as well.
To be able to speak for justice. Thank you for both of you for being here. I think that through all this discussion, we have been able to understand the centrality of this Prophet's companion, at the same time his cousin and his son-in-law. Understanding the central spiritual dimension of his presence, of his involvement within the community, serving an old lady, serving the people around him, and at the same time showing commitment to the community, love towards the Prophet, and courage facing the enemy, which are qualities that are very much needed today in our communities and in the Muslim majority countries. A central figure, a companion of the Prophet ﷺ, that we have to study again. Well, that's all we have time for. And remember, I would like to hear your views, so please email us at islamandlife@presstv.co.uk. That's islamandlife@presstv.co.uk. I would also like to thank my guests on today's show, Sayyid Ammar Naqshbandi and Sheikh Abdulrahman Helbawi. I hope that you have enjoyed the show, and I hope to see you next time, inshallah.